Good morning. It is about 33 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. This is Hannah Flohr. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg, and this is the very first episode of a new show we have here on KFSK called The Common Good, which is a series of conversations with people working in nonprofit and volunteerism, talking about their acts of service that they are doing. And this morning, we have in the studio some members of the Mitkoff Mummers. We have Irene Littleton.
Hello.
Who I do not have anyone's mics on. Goodness.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Ryan Mumby, who is...
Good morning.
Good morning. And you are the... I was going to say Cowardly Lion, but it turns out it's not the Cowardly Lion.
It's the Courageous Lion.
You are the Courageous Lion. And Tiffany Glass.
Hello.
Hello. And you are the Mad Hatter.
I am.
Okay. And Irene, are you cast in the play or you're just directing the play?
I direct it.
And I'm just directing is probably not the way to say it. Because that is a big role.
It's kind of daunting at times, but it's awesome. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's such a great cast that we have. Almost 30 people.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And so we just introduced the Mad Hatter and the Courageously Lion, formerly the Cowardly Lion,
correct,
I suppose. And those are two characters who are from very different stories. So
yes. So we have Dorothy in Wonderland basically is the Oz characters at the end of Oz thinking they're going to, you know, Dorothy's going back to Kansas and et cetera. Well, a tornado blows in and blows the Oz characters into Wonderland.
Oh.
And so all of the characters get mixed, and it's just a hoot. And Dorothy and Alice need to find their way home, and all of the characters help them get there.
So. Okay. So you have a big cast, 30 people,
yep,
part from Alice in Wonderland and part from,
yep,
The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
All right. And this is the first play that the Mummers have put on in 3 years. Is that right?
Close to 3 years.
Wow.
Two and a half for sure. Yeah. I feel like it's all new again.
Oh, really?
Well,
you feel a little rusty?
Know. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we are all just kind of like, oh, boy, okay, we can do this. And to start off with such a big show, too, is a challenge. So.
So what is it? What do you feel like you were missing while you were not doing the play for the last 2.5 years?
So many things. I mean, just the camaraderie of the group and getting to hang out with people that you don't typically hang out with and meet new people and, you know, just giving back to the community and having that project in the works that you know is going to bring so much joy to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we did miss that. And I tell you, Jessica Franklin, I think, is the one that probably every 3 months would text me, are we going to do it yet? Are we going to do it yet? I'm like, no, we can't yet. We can't yet. So, yeah. And unfortunately, she's had a knee injury and she's just had surgery and can't be with us. Otherwise, she was assisting me in all of my chores. So we wish her lots of healing and get back home soon. So,
yeah.
So, and to add to that, I must say, not only is it really important for the community, but I've always said for a long time, once you do something in theater, you can't not do it.
Oh,
like there's just something that draws you in. And if you're not doing it for so long, you miss it. It's hard to explain, but it's not just the community and the, you know, the relationships you grow with, in the cast, in the production. But it's exciting. It's exciting to be a different character and to go out on stage and have the lights in your face and you know, put on a show. It's just it's something that once it kind of gets in you, you can never shake it.
Well, and it's an accomplishment too. So you feel it gives you that sense of accomplishment and you want to do it again. It's just a good feeling all the way around.
Yeah. So there's the joy of being with a bunch of people who you're getting to know in the practices, but then the actual performance is a different experience that has a different something else that you love about it.
Absolutely.
I want to know what it's like right before the curtain opens when you have, I mean, I'm assuming that you guys have jitters.
Oh yeah.
And like, what are you doing to get over that? And how does it feel? And I don't know. I've never been in a play. It sounds horrible to me. It sounds terrifying.
It's a lot of, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of jitters, but it's not really a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I always look at it as a good thing. I feel like, I don't know, I spend a lot of time trying to get into character, especially the character I play. It's not really an easy one to just jump into. So some of my castmates maybe that don't know me well might think I'm being rude or antisocial, but it's, you know, you're just kind of sitting back there and you're trying to get in the zone, you know, going over lines in your head. Mm-hmm. I always like the time right before your entrance when you're kind of in the dark behind the stage, feeling those jitters and really getting your head in the game. And mm-hmm. it's just a really exciting feeling.
So when you're getting into character, you're like thinking through the story you've created for the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
And like thinking about the emotions.
And just getting in the Mad Hatter's head, you know, which is weird because it's a different character. But, you know, I find myself doing kind of funny, maybe, I don't know, like movements or... People probably think I look crazy back there.
That seems appropriate given the character. and Ryan, is this your first play ever?
Correct.
First play with the Mummers and first play ever.
Correct.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm doing good. Doing good. The more we talk about these jitters, though, they're starting to, you know, boil up. I'm looking forward to the light being in my eyes, mm-hmm. so I can't see the audience.
Right. Do you pretend that that nobody's there? Is that part of... Nobody's in the audience.
When you look out over the audience, you don't ever usually have eye contact. You look above them just so it doesn't distract you, and you know mm-hmm. anything can distract you,
right?
So,
and I did that the other night when my daughter was. I actually just caught her eye for a second and completely went blank. So I'm learning these little things that are helping tremendously. But first play, and I feel I'll be back.
You're really
enjoying it.
Because
you can't not do it.
It's just it's too much fun.
Cool. How did you get sucked into the Mummers? What was...
I've only been to one play, actually, and it was The Enchanted Bookstore.
Okay.
And
that was the previous Mummers play.
I think that...
I believe so.
We've done so many, they get scrambled in my head, but keep going.
It was the fact that I'd read who was playing each part, mm-hmm. but I couldn't recognize them on stage.
Oh.
One to be... particular, and I was blown away, and I read his name and I seen him, and just the whole cast itself though was just phenomenal. So I said, just on my own little head note, I said, yep, all right, I'm gonna apply.
Oh,
so
cool.
I had asked a bunch of people, and then I kept getting by Irene, but I finally I just stopped her one day and I asked her, and so I just kind of kept on the loop of when things were gonna happen.
How did you feel being cast as the Courageley Lion?
Great.
That's, you know, when we do casting call, I have everybody write down like number 1 to 3, your favorite, your top. Mm-hmm. And he was number 1 for Lion.
Yeah.
And I could tell he just was really excited about doing that. And I thought his little girl was sitting there with him, and I thought, oh, he has to be the Lion.
Oh.
He has to be the brave dad here.
What is it about the role that you like?
Just the Lion, how he is. And he's no longer... Cowardly Lion, so he's Courageley Lion, but it's just a fun part. He's the Courageley Lion, you know, he's always wanting to scramble with someone, or show he's not afraid.
Yeah, he's got a lot to prove, and he's happy about it.
Correct.
Yeah. So I want to know more about how this whole production comes together, because, you know, 30 people, that's a huge cast,
it
and
is.
Then you've got sets, and you've got blocking. Yeah. I was talking with Cindy Lagadakis, who's on next, I was talking with her last week. And again, I don't know much about plays, but she was talking about having to do all the blocking and figuring out where people are going to stand and mm-hmm. practicing all the different scenes. And I was surprised to hear that that you don't run through the play every single time you practice,
no.
which, you know, upon thinking about it, does make sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
well, this play is so big, and there's 13 scenes. And typically, like for Mayfest, we don't have that big of a... number of scenes, mm-hmm. and so when it's a smaller play, we can run start to finish a lot easier. But this is like a 70-minute, maybe even longer, 80 minutes. So it's a big play, and there's lots of scenes. And the thing with community theater, everybody's busy. They're working. They have families. They have trips they have to take. And so we would we would schedule certain nights for certain scenes. That's the first time we've been able to do it because of the size of the play. Mm-hmm. And so it worked out really well, but we have had a lot of people having to come and go during this rehearsal time. So getting us all together, that many people on the stage without anybody missing, has been a feat in itself.
Yeah. But it's a lot to manage, but Irene has rocked it.
Oh, bless you, Tiff. Thank you.
She very politely cracks the whip.
That is a good life skill in general. Knowing how to do that politely, but firmly.
They are an amazing cast. And I mean, the thing about community theaters, you're dealing with adults who want the same outcome as you. You don't have to chase them down. It's just everybody is there for the right reasons, and everybody works so hard to get to that point, whether they can be there or not. We all have the same goal, and that is to just do a really good job and entertain our community. Mm-hmm. So,
What makes for a successful performance? Like, what is going to make you feel like you got what you wanted?
That everybody has a good time. Like the cast, you know, when the first time they go out there for their first scene, you know, it's so scary, and it's exciting, but it's nerve-wracking. And then you get off of that first scene and you come off stage and you're like, yes, I did it, you know, and that just fuels the fires. And and it just happens that things are so much bigger during the performances because people are feeling it, you know. And as soon as we get a laugh, we've done this play for 2.5 months with no giggles, really, other than ourselves. We think we're hilarious, but it's really
hilarious.
We are. And it's so fun to have that, you know, laughter come from the audience, and it just fuels our fire. And so the performance nights are just downright fun. And that's what I want everybody to feel, even if there is a line dropped or a, you know, just enjoy it, have fun. It's live theater. You can't predict. So,
and that's another thing that is hard to explain to somebody who's never done it. And those people who are new will see it tonight, is that energy that you get from the crowd. It just goes in you. Yeah. It's a really cool experience. Mm.
This is what I meant by boiling up. My legs are over here just going at it.
Ryan.
This is a poorly timed conversation for you, Ryan.
It's good. It's bottled.
The other thing that I found really neat to see is, you know, because we have such a large cast on stage, that doesn't really leave for very many people backstage. So we've had our actors kind of move into these backstage roles, because backstage is just as important as what's happening on stage. It's so important. And so I've really been impressed seeing some people move into these backstage roles and just own it and be, you know, like they were just meant to be there.
Yeah.
What do you mean by backstage roles? What's happening that we don't see in the audience?
Oh my gosh. go ahead, Irene.
Well, I was just going to comment about Aaron Hankins, who he said to me a few months ago, can I be a tree? And I said, sure, come on. Come, you can be a tree. And that man has probably just thought, what did I do? Because he is our backstage. He's organizing people, and he just kind of fell into that role. Mm-hmm. So all of the set changes have to, you know, everybody has to be assigned for a set piece to take off and one to put on, the curtain to close, the curtain to open, the light cues, the, you know, it's just, it's like a fine oiled machine or well-oiled machine back there. And it's because, you know, the organization. But yeah, there's, and then helping people get in and out of costume maybe, or, you know, it's just constant. What do you think, Tiff? What did you...
Well,
you look
like
you're going to say something there.
Well, I don't know. I was going to give a little anecdote, but maybe I don't know if I'm. just a little funny side note. Last night during our dress rehearsal, because there's so many pieces that have to happen in terms of the set and backstage, and then, you know, they're like the, so Brian Richards is helping Aaron as well. And,
Brian is amazing.
So at one point, they're supposed to set, disclaimer, there's a hidden hat backstage. So they're supposed to set a hat of mine. Well, the last couple times they forgot to set the hat. So last night I go right off stage, I see the hat, and instead of like setting it myself or saying, hey, Brian, can you go set my hat? I was still in character. I hold it up and I like shake it like in front of his face. Like, in, you guys can't see me right now, but I'm doing it.
She's being very sassy.
And I shook it, and he grabs it and puts it back. And then he comes back. I'm like, Brian, I am so sorry. I was not trying to be rude. I was in character. He goes, oh, no, I got what you were saying. It's all good.
Yeah, Brian is new to the Mummers as well as Aaron is, and they're both just, like, amazing people that make stuff happen back there. And plus, they're in the play, too. So that's the tricky part. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just have a backstage crew that didn't have to worry about their scene or, you know, their lines, and they can just focus on, but they're focusing on multiple things. Yeah. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, and a lot of times having all of those different things happening at once can be so satisfying when you when you get to feel like you're doing the stuff backstage and, you know, playing all the little different parts that need to be done. It can be really satisfying. Thinking about the Mad Hatter and how you're really in your role, I'm curious if there are characters that you guys would love to play, just sort of, or types, you know, whether you'd love to play a villain or, like, what's something that you guys would really be into playing?
Well, I don't know about any, like, if I have anything in mind that I would love to play in the future, but I do love the fun and quirky roles. I do like the villain roles. One of my favorite shows I was in was Annie, and I got to play Miss Hannigan, and that was a lot of fun.
I don't know that that story. What's Miss Hannigan's deal?
Oh, she's the, you know, the horrible woman that runs the, what do you call it?
The orphanage?
Yeah, the orphanage. And she's just a horrible person. That was fun. And I got to play, there was another play that people probably wouldn't know, but I remember the director saying to me, I want everyone in the audience to just hate you, except your mom. Your mom's not going to hate you. Well, I told my mom that later. She goes, oh, no, you were horrible. I did not like you at all. So I don't know. I think those kind of roles are fun. That's why the Mad Hatter. I was nervous when Irene first called me to tell me because, you know, I don't, it's a weird one. And
She does it so well.
I've heard from multiple people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's fun to play the kind of different roles.
What about you, Ryan?
Well, being new to this, I will be open to play any character.
Yeah.
If I can, yeah.
Just to try it out.
Yep.
It's a good challenge. It's a good challenge.
Because nonetheless, whatever you're doing, you're going to remove some of your ego. Put away. You're not going to care what people think about you.
How does that work? I don't understand how that works.
If you have a little bit of pride or, you know, a little chip on your shoulder and you're afraid of what people are going to think about you, then it's going to be difficult, I feel.
But how do you get past that?
Like a belt. Just take it off and set it down.
There you go.
If I were to explain that any other way.
Huh. Is that something that all of you guys have to do? Or that maybe you did at the beginning of your process of working in community theater?
Well, I think when you play a character, it's you become that person on stage, and it's you can leave everything else behind. And so it just that's almost part of the draw for me.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was doing theater a lot with Vara Wright, she always cast me as a heroine, and I was so proud to do it, but there was a longing to be a bad villain person, villainess. And I was like, when Killian Slavin, she's our queen of hearts, and she really wanted that role because she too has kind of given all of her time and efforts to being a good character in all of our plays. And when she... I found out later when I called her and said, Killian, will you be the Queen of Hearts? She squealed in my ear, and she was going through a checkout stand at Hammer's Hardware, and my daughter was waiting on her, and she was like, oh, she was so excited. She was so pumped.
Fun.
So, you know, it is that fun challenge of doing something that you're not, or that you've been something different than what you've been doing. So there's a draw for that, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to imagine... just putting aside your ego and deciding you're not going to care what anybody thinks. Like I suppose I did that a little bit on the radio as well, but it's hard to imagine just doing that on command. And I'm really impressed that all of you are able to get up there and just decide
I find it easier than like public speaking or something where I'm playing myself, because I'm not playing myself. I'm a completely different role, a completely different person. I'm told exactly what to say. So I have, I have my lines that are given to me. And so sometimes people say, well, you're natural on the stage, so you can speak and do this. And I'm like, well, not as myself.
Don't make me talk by myself.
Yeah. You just, if you have the character in the costume, it's a distance that makes it easier. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming that this play is kid friendly. Is that true? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are, your opening night is tonight.
Tonight.
That's so exciting. And then you have two more performances after that.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday. They're all at the same time?
7:00.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Doors open 6:30.
Okay. And folks can get their tickets at the door.
Yep. Just pay at the door.
Okay.
Yes.
Exciting. And then is it true that you usually do two plays a year?
Well, for the fall play, we usually do two. And then the Mayfest play, we do three. Oh, sorry. I'm talking performances, not plays.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say this. So we're doing three this fall for this play, just like we'll do three for Mayfest, but two plays a year. And we're doing three plays. This play has been very expensive.
Oh, well, the costumes for 30 costumes, people, I can see.
Yeah.
And the costumes are fabulous.
Oh, that's exciting.
They're fun. And we just want to give, this play, we want to honor it by doing three performances and just make sure everybody gets a chance to see it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
two plays a year. Back to your other question. Yes.
So there'll be one in the spring as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to see it, and good luck.
Thank you.
Except I'm supposed to say break a leg.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
No luck
involved.
We'll
take anything you want to give us.
And thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for joining me for The Common Good. That's a new show we have here on KFSK. It's going to be each week at 8:30 a.m. on Thursdays, followed by Rising Tide with Cindy Lagadakis. And we have Cindy here. We're going to get to her music.